look beautiful today and handsome. Sorry, handsome and beautiful. Well, my name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here at New Heart, and it's my great joy to get to share the word with you today on this beautiful Easter Sunday. Isn't it a beautiful day outside?
Yes.
It's like it's perfect. It's not too hot, not too cold. We'll see when we get out there afterwards. But it's my joy to welcome you this morning and to get to share the word with you. And with so many guests joining us this morning, I just want to let you know that we're happy to have you here as our guest. As Pete said, we'd love to get you connected with this awesome New Heart family. There's a lot of great stuff we're doing, not just on Easter Sunday, but throughout the year, and we'd love to get you connected. You can fill out one of those Connect cards, and we'd love to know you were here. We're going to continue our series we started last week. Pastor Pete started this series called Raised to Life. In fact, over the next many weeks, we're going to be looking at this, so I want to encourage you, come on back. Check it out. But this morning, we get to look at perhaps the most important story in human history. This morning, as we look back to the first Easter, we look at a story that is the best story ever told, but it's a story that's a true story. Now, many of you guys know, in fact, I brought some with me because it is Easter. As many of you know, Easter is more than just about a bunny. And it's more than just peeps, although I have to say, there's nothing like a peep on Easter. Does anyone want a peep? No. No. That was good. You know, it's more than just about a bunny. And it's the most incredible story ever told. And this morning we're going to look back at the very first Easter because it's an important story. The problem with the Easter story is that so many of us have heard it. It's kind of like we've heard the story before. Some of you have heard the story dozens of times throughout the history of your life. Some of you have never heard it at all, and so this is going to be a new opportunity for you to hear the story. But sometimes when we hear something over and over again, do you ever have this? Maybe this happens with your kids. Maybe not you, but your kids. That when you hear something over and over again, it just becomes like background noise. And we just don't get it anymore. You guys have that experience ever? It's kind of like the man who was on a plane. He just didn't quite get it. So he's on a plane, and the man next to him didn't get it. And as he's flying, it's on a cross-country flight from Los Angeles to New York. And about 30 minutes into the flight, over the intercom, the captain comes and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, I've got bad news. One of our engines just went out. But it's okay, we've got three more engines. The flight will be delayed about 1 hour. Carry on." And so the man's like, he's a little nervous of flying in to begin with, and so he's getting a little nervous. He's like, one of the engines went out. Well, about 30 minutes later in the flight, the captain again comes on the intercom and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I want to let you know that actually a second engine has gone out. But it's okay, we've got two more engines. The flight's going to be delayed 2 hours. The man is really getting nervous now. He's starting to sweat bullets. And, can I get a drink, flight attendant? He's getting nervous. Well, about an hour later, over the intercom again comes the calm, cool voice of the captain, who again says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost our third engine. It's okay, we've got one more engine, but our flight will be delayed an additional 3 hours. Now, at this point, he is terrified, but the man sitting next to him looks over and says, "If we lose one more engine, we're going to be up here all day." Sometimes we just don't get it, right? Sometimes the message comes through, but it's not connected to anything. And seriously, though, we can hear the Easter message. We can hear the story of Jesus being raised from the dead again and again. And just like that man, it can just not compute for us. Sometimes we look at the Easter story and we say, well, how does this even relate to me? That's a great story and it sounds good, but how does it connect to my life and the struggles that I'm going through and the things that are happening in my life? And I would submit to you this morning that the story that we look at, the Easter story, is perhaps the most important story to our lives. It has immense application in everything, and it's perhaps the most important moment in human history. And it's a day that we celebrate. In fact, if you're taking notes, you can pull out those note sheets that are in your bulletins today. The very first fill in the blank, the big idea this morning is this: that the same God that raised Jesus from the grave can raise us to new and abundant life. I'll say it again. The same God that raised Jesus from the grave can raise us to new and abundant life. I'm going to turn to our key scripture this morning. If you have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 20. It'll be on the screens as well. It's not in your notes because we're going to look at a large section of scripture, about 10 verses. We're going to read it all and then we're going to dig in, okay? Hopefully you're okay with that because that's what we're going to do. Starting in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She was up early, way earlier than I want to get up. And she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and as they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. They're out for a morning jog. It doesn't sound fun either. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, but the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, was not lying with the others, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. I want you to mark those words, he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. See, I love when we encounter moments in the scriptures where we see God's disciples not getting it. Because I think sometimes we're afraid that if we mess up or we don't quite get it all figured out, that somehow we're going to miss out on everything. But even they didn't get it. But here's the big idea. That same God that raised Jesus from the grave can still work miracles. He can still raise to life things that have died in us. See, many of us know the what of the story. We know the details. We know the specifics. We know that he died and 3 days later he rose. But sometimes we disconnect the what from the why, and the why is vitally important. See, we have to understand the why behind the what. Why did Jesus die? And why does it matter that he was raised from the dead? Because if we disconnect the why, it's just facts. It's just a story. But why really matters. You know, last week, Pastor Pete kicked off our series, and he looked at a story of a man named Nicodemus. I'll call him Nick, because that sounds easier for me to say. And his encounter with Jesus. And Nick encountered Jesus, and Jesus spoke to him and told him clearly that he had to be born again to experience and to see the kingdom of God. And what Nick was perplexed with, he's an older guy. He's no spring chicken, as they say. I don't see a whole lot of spring chickens in the room. None of us are. All the kids have gone across the way. So all of us are in that same boat. And he said to Jesus, he said, "Jesus, I don't think I can go back and be born again because my mom would not like that. It would be painful for both of us at this stage." But what Jesus was saying is that there's something that must begin again, that God needed to have him be born again spiritually, that he might change. And the real question that Nick was asking is, can a person really change? Is that possible? See, many of us have tried to change. Every January, we make these resolutions. How many of you guys are doing well to sticking with those? Some of us join the gym or buy P90X or that other insane one, Insanity. And we start well, and very often we kind of fall short and stop before we're done. And see, Nick was a good guy. Nick was a guy that was a religious guy. He went to church. He knew all the right things to say. He knew all the wrong things to not say, right? Nick had it kind of figured out how he was supposed to live life, but Jesus told him that that alone was not enough, that all of his good deeds, all of his good actions were not enough for him to experience and enter into the kingdom of God, that he must be born again. See, Nick thought that if he tried hard enough, he could earn God's approval. But Jesus told him clearly that's not the way it works. Now, shortly after that conversation with Nick, Jesus said the words that are probably his most quoted words in all of the scripture, probably the most popular verse to memorize in John chapter 3, starting in verse 16. It's what theologians call the gospel in the gospel, the good news inside of the good news. John 3, 16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. See, our only good deed we can do to earn acceptance in the eyes of God, to bridge the gap that exists between us and a holy God, is belief. I say deed, but it's really all about belief. See, there's nothing we can do. I can't save me with my own work, and you can't save you with your own work. Only God's grace and only belief in Jesus Christ can do that. See, the same God who raised Jesus from a physical death wants to raise us to a new life from a spiritual death. That's true of every single one of us. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus that we might be saved from our mistakes. See, this past Friday was Good Friday. And on Good Friday, we look back at the moment where Jesus died. And we don't look back because we enjoy thinking about death. We don't look back because we think it's cool to be somber. We look back because we remember that when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, he died to pay my punishment and your punishment. He made a way for us to be restored in relationship with God. And that's why today we gather together to celebrate that he's overcome death in the grave, that he has brought us life. See, we celebrate because Jesus's, some of his final words on the cross were, "It is finished." And so is our work needed to make us right with God. It's already finished. All we have to do is believe God. See, Easter's a celebration. It's a moment that we rejoice that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, overcame death that we might live, that we might experience life. The next bullet point on your notes, if you're following along, is God wants to raise not just people, but God wants to raise me to new life. Can you read that aloud with me? Ready? Go. God wants to raise me to new life. That's true, friend. But some of you would say, but what are you talking about, dude? I'm already alive. Hello? I'm sitting here. I got dressed. I took a shower. I'm already alive. How can I be raised to life? Here's the truth. Let me let you in on an inside secret. We're all dead. I know. That's like sounds crazy. But the Bible tells us that before we come to Jesus Christ, we are all dead in our trespasses. Ephesians 2:4 says this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, .. We'll read the second part of that in a second. See, we're all dead. And not like the walking dead, but actually, that's probably a good analogy. See, because all of us, before we came to Christ, it was as if we were walking dead. We were alive, but we were dead at the same time. We were infected and affected by the sin of our world. And though we lived and breathed and walked and moved and talked and lived, we were not alive. See, but unlike that barbaric show, there is a cure. This is not like the zombie apocalypse, okay? Jesus came and brought us a cure to this walking dead syndrome. God has given us a cure, and the job of the living is not to take out the zombies, but instead to bring the cure to the world. See, because God wants us to live again. God wants us to have, not just be alive, but to live. See, the Bible tells us clearly that the wages of sin is death, that what we earn with our falling short of God's standards and not doing things in God's ways, what we earn is death. Some of you are like, dude, this is not good news. I thought this was a celebration. We'll get there. Okay? Stay with me. See, what we've earned, every single one of us, is death. Like when we go to work, we earn a wage, we earn money. And what God is saying is when we live out our lives following our own ways instead of God's ways, we earn the wage of death. But God so loved the world that he made a way for us to be set free. See, all of us fall short of God's standards and screw up, me included, even the person next to you. Point to the person next to you and say, yep, you too, buddy. Especially some of you. No, I'm just kidding. You guys like saying that, I think. See, our passage continues, though, in Ephesians 2, and it says, even when we were dead, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and he's raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. See, Jesus died in a physical sense. He died physically, but we all have dead things in our lives. Although we live and breathe and move, without Christ, we are dead spiritually. And God wants to raise to life some of those dead things in our lives. Dead hopes, dead dreams, things that have died within us. God wants to raise those things to life. See, living is not all that God is interested in. He wants us to experience the sort of life, the sort of living that he's created us for. In fact, God, there's the next fill in the blank if you're taking notes. God wants me not just to live, but to be fully alive. God wants us not just to be alive, but to thrive. See, there's a difference between living and living the way that God designed us for. In fact, Jesus talked about this in John 10:10. He said, the thief comes only to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. But I came what? That they may have life and have it abundantly. Why did Jesus come? He came because of the Father's great love for us, but he came that we would have life and life abundantly, that we would be raised to newness of life, that we might experience the sort of life that God has designed us and purposed us and created us to experience. See, the God of the universe is crazy about you. He's not mad at you, he's mad about you. And he so loved you and me that he sent Jesus Christ to die in our place for our sins, and he raised him from death so that through his death and resurrection, he might also raise us to newness of life. That is the good news of the gospel, friend. See, Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, he can raise us to new life. He's defeated death once and for all. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be fearful of the grave because Jesus has the keys to death and the keys to the grave and can raise us to new life. Amen. You can say, that's good, that's good. You can say, amen, that's good. See, Jesus is alive. 2 Corinthians 4:14, it says, he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. See, Jesus raises us to life that we might have a future hope, that we might look forward to the day that we're raised with him in eternity. But it's more than just that. God raises you to new and abundant life here and now. You know, I always imagined what it's like. This is one of the great joys. I'm so thankful that at New Heart we have such an array of kids. Weren't those kids awesome up here today? Yes. Just to see their excitement, and it's good. I've got four boys at home, so I get to see lots of excitement. But it's great to see them kind of all orderly and nice in here, and it's cool. My wife is like a superstar. But kids have a unique perspective, don't they? I love it. You know, it was like the Sunday school teacher that asked her third grade class. She was talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus, and she thought, I really want to see what you guys think. What do you think Jesus' first words were when he emerged from the tomb alive after being dead? A little girl in the back of the room, oh, I know. She loved the excitement of kids. And she got up, and the teacher called on her and said, what do you think Jesus' first words were? She got up, and she got herself all ready. She went, ta-da! I don't know if that's in the book, but I imagine that could have been what Jesus said. See, God wants to raise you to new and abundant life. He does. He wants to raise those things, and Easter is a time of celebration and hope. I think our kids get it more than we do. They know how to have fun. They know how to experience the joy and the thrill. I wish we would just do that. We could do that every day as we wake up and remember the resurrection of Jesus. See, our days on earth, we will experience the effects and effects of sin and its presence. But we're designed for a world that is without those things. I believe it's the longing of the human heart for a world without those things, without sickness and death, without suffering and hunger and hatred and murder and all the things that we see and hear about here on this earth because of sin infecting this world. And God has promised a day that we will experience the world that we were created for. It's a day where we'll experience the kingdom of God forever. See, but here's the truth. As we live out our days here on earth, God has a purpose for us. If you're taking notes, the third bullet is this: you were made with a purpose, and you were designed for a relationship with God. See, so very often we look to other things to fill the void that only a relationship with God can satisfy. Here's what the Bible says about God's purpose for us. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Just like Nick in our story, he wanted to boast. God says it's not by what we do, but it's by belief in Jesus Christ. For we are his workmanship, it says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, we have been made by God with an inextricable purpose. And separated from our purpose, from what God has created us to do, to live in a relationship with himself, we have a longing that can't be satisfied. See, we were created to both know God and be known by him. We were created for intimacy of relationship with our Creator. But so often, in the absence of that sort of relationship, we cling to so many things that never fully satisfy us. And that's why we live life, but we don't live the thriving life. We don't live an abundant life because we've missed out on the source of all joy and blessing, God himself. See, some of us look for purpose in the things that we do, thinking that if we'll just do well enough, that somehow we'll achieve the purpose and the longing that we're looking for. If we can just get that next promotion, or if our bosses will just recognize us, or if our coworkers or peers will see our contribution to the world, then we'll be satisfied, then we will be complete. But as many of an old man will tell you, and I say that because sometimes it's not until we get to the end of our lives that we realize the fruitlessness and the foolishness and the fleeting nature of that sort of pursuit. But as we get to the end of our days, if you'll talk to the elders amongst us, they'll tell you this is true. That we find that when we find those things, when we take hold of them, they may satisfy for a moment, but they never satisfy us wholly. They leave us longing for more. Some of us look for purpose in the things that we have. If that's Jesus, I'll take it. We say, if I just have that next house, that big house that guy has, if I just have that car, if I could just trade this junker for that one, then I would be satisfied. But again, we too find that we're never satisfied by those things. See, we, every one of us, long for something more. We long for the wholeness and the completion and the satisfaction of purpose that only comes from a relationship with God. See, God has put within the human heart a longing for a life set free from the presence of sin once and for all, where we can be truly and completely satisfied. Today we celebrate. We celebrate because God has made a way for us to experience the life that he's created us for. This is the day that we look back to death. We look back to the death of Christ, and we remember that when he was raised from the grave, he defeated death once and for all. This is the day too that we look forward. We look ahead to the hope that Jesus Christ has secured for us eternity in heaven with God the Father. And sometimes we look just to those things. We look just back to the cross and to the resurrection, and we look ahead to our eternity with God. but we neglect to look at the hope and the purpose that God has for us here and now. And this Easter, we are to look at the newness of life that God has raised us to here and now, that we can experience what a life lived close to God and under his ways will look like. See, God is here today. God is in this place. The Bible declares that where two or more are gathered, he is there, and God is here. His presence is here, and he wants to raise some of you to new life today. Others of you, he wants to remind you, to fill you with the joy of that day when you were raised to life again. Sometimes we need a refill. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we need to be reminded of those things, just like the man on the airplane. We can hear all the details and miss the point. And we need to be reminded. See, but for some of you, I believe God wants to do a new work. God wants to begin a new story in your life. God wants to raise you to newness of life today. And the real question is not if God can do it, but the real question is, will you respond to God's invitation? The real question is, will you choose to surrender your life to God today? The real question is, will you say yes to his gift? See, salvation is a gift given by God. The only question is, will I take hold of it? Will I receive it? Or will I cross my arms and say, no thanks? That's the choice that lies before each one of us. See, faith in Jesus Christ is not a passive faith. We must act and we must respond. The Bible clearly teaches that there's nothing we can do to earn God's love, nothing. But the fact of the matter is that if we put our hope and trust and faith in Jesus Christ, he will change us from the inside out. So very often we get so tied up in the details of, I've got to fix all this stuff on the outside first. And God would say to you, I want to fix the inside. The outside stuff will follow. If you've given your life to me, I'll change those outside things. See, Romans 10:9 says this, and we're in our conclusion here. Says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that one believes and is justified, and with the mouth that one confesses and is saved. See, friend, I need a Savior today. I need a Savior to save me from my sins, and so do you. We are all in need of a Savior. But the good news is that God does not stand in heaven wagging his finger, but instead he stretched out his arms and says, welcome home. That's God's posture towards us. See, the real difference and the real question is, will we listen to the call of God? Will we respond to his invitation? Will we say yes? See, what the Bible tells us is that you are worth it. Sometimes we think we're not worthy of what God has done for us in our place. But the truth of the matter is that God says, you are. That God said, I love you this much, as he stretched out his arms on the cross and died in your place. See, the question is, will you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Will you believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead on that first Easter Sunday? Because that's it. That's all that it takes, is belief in his son and confession thereof. God knows that he can raise your life. He can raise the dead things in your heart to newness of life. But belief and confession are all that's required. You don't have to fix all the other stuff. All you have to do is come to God and receive his gift of his son, Jesus Christ. See, because the same God that raised Jesus from the grave wants to raise us to new and abundant life. And the question is, will we respond to that? Will we surrender to God in those areas? Will you choose to believe God and receive from him this morning, wherever your journey has been, whether you've been walking with Jesus for a decade or more, or you've wandered away from God, or you've never come home to the Father? God's invitation is the same to all of us. Would you come home today? Would you come near to God today? And that is the great question. And I promise you that God's ways are the good ways. If we will press into God to experience his goodness, we will experience the good life here and now. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we close our time in prayer? Perhaps God was speaking to you this morning about something we talked about being raised to life. The truth is this, God wants to raise some of you to new and abundant life here and now. You may be like the disciples that I shared about. You might not have it all figured out. You might have heard the story and you missed the point. That's okay. Today is your day to begin afresh. It's okay to bring your doubts to God. It's okay to come with questions before God. Easter is a celebration of God's power to raise dead things to new life. And some of you are here today and you need to take that very first step of faith. Maybe you've never come home to God, or maybe you once walked with God and you wandered a long ways away from home. Today, the invitation to God is the same. Would you receive the gift I have for you and my son? You may have been in church before, but you've never done that. And I believe that it's not an accident that you're here today. Maybe you got a mailer, maybe a friend invited you, maybe you decided to come after for some reason, but I believe that God of the universe drew you to this place today, and it's not by accident or mistake. I believe God wants some of you to cross that line of faith today, to say yes to God's free gift. If that's you, I want to pray with you in just a moment. With every other head bowed and eye closed in this room, I want to take an opportunity for some of you to do just that, to confess, say, I want to receive God's gift. And I'm not going to call you up front or do anything weird, but with every other head bowed and eye closed, if that's you today, and you say, I want to say yes to God's free gift of grace, I want to receive God's gift. With every other head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your hand and lift up your eyes, let our eyes meet so that I can pray with you. Is that why you're looking up? Yes, I see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else from the front of the room all the way to the back? I see your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Church, can we pray this prayer with those who are praying it maybe for the first time? Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, you said that all I have to do is come to you with faith and you would hear me. So as best as I know how, I come to you now. I ask you to forgive my sins. Help me to change my life through your power and grace. And secure for me everlasting life. Jesus Christ, I turn my life over to you now. In your name I pray. Amen. Can we celebrate with those who said yes to Jesus today? Well, I want to encourage those of you who have said yes today, or maybe in the past, and you've never been water baptized, we'd love the illustration and the visual of baptism is just that, that we're raised to newness of life. So if you've never been water baptized, you said yes today or recently, I want to encourage you to fill out a Connect card, let us know. Let's get you dunked. The water's great, so it's a good time. We had 10 people baptized in this month, so awesome, awesome time. Yes, we can celebrate that. So I want to encourage you to stick around. Today we've got lots of fun activities out on the grass area. There's going to be some sort of candy hunt going on in a few minutes. And the bounce house will be back opened up for the kids. I'm sure there'll be lots of fun bouncing and carnage. With that, I want to encourage you to stick around. Get to talk to someone. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you before you leave. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for those who are gathered here in this house today. Lord, I speak blessing over them. I pray you'd bless them in the name of the Father, Lord, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, would you send us with the power of new life? God, would you fill us with your Spirit that we might have the joy of the Lord as we look to celebrate today what you've done? We love you, Lord. I pray that you bless these as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Have a great one. We'll see you out on the patio. And there's peeps if anyone wants one.